time to tell the neighbors that Charlie Evers Show is on. It's time that you can listen to eras long bygone. So email all your loved ones or call them on your phone and tell them Charlie Evers is on. It may be terminal wrinkles, it may be Hillary's hair, it may be on top of the courthouse, you bet old Charlie's there. You may be invited to dinner, but tell them you can't come. The Charlie Evers is home.
Yes, we're back once again. The time is 11:16, and we'll be here to noon, and then again from 12:15 to 1 o'clock. Now, the 12:15 to 1 o'clock could be mighty interesting. That's when Scott and I get into different interesting subjects. Oh, I don't know what it'd be this. Oh, there's been so much in politics the past week, especially locally. Oh, my, what's happening? Okay, now, I just had a visit from a friend, Mr. E.J. Stitt, and he loaned me a book that I treasure because it answers my quest for information. Okay, and I see that he had a, in the book he gave me, it said, what's the nickname given Cincinnati in the 1850s because of its prominence in the meatpacking industry? Well, if you were listening yesterday, you know the answer was Porkopolis, yes. Okay, now I'm going to look to see if I can find some interesting things about Ohio. And, well, I tell you one thing, the Wright brothers, I didn't know until I read this, the Wright Airplane Company of Dayton really got into manufacturing airplanes. Now, they shipped 4,587 airplanes to another country. Now, what was the country? Where did the Wright brothers, called then the Wright Airplane Company of Dayton, how many de Havilland aircraft did they send overseas? To what country? Now, there's an interesting question involving the Wright brothers. Did you ever know that they went into production of airplanes in World War I? By the thousands, they did. They sent 4,587 to one other country. Now, if you can name that country, I will give you a prize today. 740-33-9944, that's our number to call. Okay. So what country would that have been that the Wright brothers manufactured and sold 4,000 and some airplanes? You'd have never known that, would you? They were big in not only inventing, but in manufacturing airplanes. Good grief. And World War I, you know, they were pretty basic airplanes at that time. Oh, a double wing. Oh, boy. Thank goodness I got a chance to fly in a double winger or a biplane here at the airport last year. Wow, that was fun. Okay, so what country did the Wright brothers ship all these airplanes to in World War I? They shipped 4,587 airplanes of the de Havilland brand. De Havilland. What country were they sent to? 740, I said the phones are not lighting up. 740-33-9944. Okay, do I need to go to another question? Yeah, let me see here. Let me take a look here. Let me see. Okay, here, this newspaper has been in the news. In 1826, what newspaper became the first daily newspaper west of Philadelphia? Whoa. Put that in your pipe and smoke it. In 1826, what newspaper became the first daily newspaper west of Philadelphia? That was in Ohio, of course. What newspaper would that have been? The first one west of Philadelphia. Yeah, didn't know that, did you? James Albert Wales served as a cartoonist for Puck magazine. Remember Puck? And helped found Judge magazine. He was born in what Ohio community? It's the same community. My dad might have known him. He was born in the same community my dad was born in. But what city would that have been? James Albert Wales, the cartoonist for Puck and helped found the Judge magazine, is from what city in Ohio? Okay. So, two questions here. Where did the Wright brothers ship all those thousands of airplanes in World War I? And what city in Ohio was the home of James Albert Wales from Puck magazine? Boy, it's quiet around here. Okay. Let me see what else I can come up with here. Let me see. Boy, I could go on for weeks and weeks and weeks with questions here. Oh, wow. Let me see what else I can find here. Let me see. I'm trying to pick out one that you might know, because a lot of these that I'm sure nobody knows, or at least quite readily. Okay. Here's a good one. What Ohio painter, or he was the Ohio painter, Godfrey Frankenstein, created a portrait of what U.S. president? An artist by the name of Frankenstein painted a U.S. president. Now, what would that president have been? Yeah, so way back. Here's another. What Warren native, that's Warren, Ohio, wrote the 1941 Pulitzer Prize-winning biography of Harriet Beecher Stowe? Harriet Beecher Stowe, Crusader in Crinoline, that was the name of the book. But what Warren native wrote that book? That'd be one for you to look up. Now, Warren, Ohio, let me tell you about Warren. Just down the road from Warren is the state of Pennsylvania. Now, there is a store in Pennsylvania that's the largest shoe store in America. Its name is Ryan's. But what town in Pennsylvania is Ryan's shoe store located? I've been there. I walked through it once, just say I'd been there. I happened to have been on a tourism project in eastern Ohio, and we had to, in fact, let's see what all went on that. Well, we had some extra time, so me and another guy drove over to Pennsylvania. He said, hey, you want to see the world's largest shoe store? I said, yeah. We found it. What town in Pennsylvania would you find the world's largest shoe store? Okay. And so it goes. Let me see. Boy, I'm getting no answers to this at all. Okay, caller. I can see some of you Googling. Oh, my. Let me see. You want an easier one? Well, let me see if I can find an easier one. What was the score of the 1900 World Series? Cincinnati 4, Oakland nothing. Now, I understand the game's canceled tonight in Washington because the Democrats are investigating the team, the Houston Astros. They're subpoenaing all the team members, and they're going to start an investigation. Okay, what Ohio-born musician became the director of, let me see. Oh, my. Let me see. I've got so many things I can pick from. I'm going to have to take a while at home to look over some of these and print out myself. Woo! I appreciate E.J. Stitt for providing me all this great information. He's a collector like me, too. How many of you collect plumb bobs? I just looked up plumb bobs and Googled them. And you know what I found? All kinds of plumb bobs for sale. The brass ones and the steel ones. And the heavier they were, the better they worked. Between 1934 and 1939, WLW in Cincinnati was given an experimental license by the federal government to operate with what amount of power? What was that power? They didn't last, and I've talked to people that witnessed it, it didn't last too awfully long, because when you generate 500,000 watts of RF, that's radio frequency power, it can get in everything. Spoutings began singing or talking in Cincinnati. That's right. That's not just a story. People told me that were eyewitnesses to all this. They could hear music coming out of their spouting. And then we're, whoa, what on earth is going on? And then, of course, it was known that WLW is 500,000 watts, and they were in everything. You see, to hear radio waves, they have to be what's called go through a rectifying process. Now, nowadays, a rectifier would be a diode. It's a piece of rock. But back then, anything that operated as a diode broadcast WLW. How many watts did they have? This is a fairly widely known, and their transmitter towers are down at Mason, Ohio. And also, they provided the towers for Voice of America. Okay. So, Johnny Appleseed believed his efforts to establish apple orchards would help pioneer families avoid what sickness, you know? I don't know of anybody today that has a sickness. That's because everybody must eat apples. All right. What fossil remains were unearthed by a Johnstown resident while working in his garden in August of 1926? Well, that's pretty common. A mastodon. And mastodons have been found around the Marion area and Crawford County area. In fact, you could find one probably buried most anywhere if you dug often enough. All right. So, what major leaguer hit the first home run at Riverfront Stadium June 30th, 1970? Okay, baseball fans. What major leaguer hit the first home run at Riverfront Stadium in June of 1930? What was his name? And I remember when it happened. I sure remember. I think the same guy had more than one big first like that. What major leaguer hit the first home run at Riverfront Stadium June 30th, 1970? Obviously, the stadium had been just built, apparently. What was his name? Gotcha. Yeah. Scott, do you remember when Hillary Clinton came to Marion in 2016?
Yes, I do. I stood outside of the Harding Hotel in the rain waiting to get an interview that didn't happen.
You know why she chose the Harding Hotel to meet?
No, I don't.
Well, they used to have a hair salon in the lobby, and she could sure use it.
Here we go again. WWGH Radio, 107.1 FM. Don't miss it.
Adopt US Kids presents What to Expect When You're Expecting a Teenager. Learning the Lingo.
GOAT, G-O-A-T, acronym, stands for Greatest of All Time. As in, spaghetti sandwiches for dinner? They're my fave. Dad, you're the GOAT.
You don't have to speak teen to be a perfect parent. Thousands of teens in foster care will love you just the same. Visit AdoptUSKids.org. Brought to you by the U.S. Department of Health and Human Services, Adopt U.S. Kids, and the Ad Council.
Okay, we're back once again. We've got about 30 minutes or less until noon. And then 12:15, Scott will come in with me, and we'll talk about, well, anything. That might be our downfall. You never know. Okay, 7403-399-44. Who was the player in 1970 to hit the first home run in Cincinnati in their stadium? 1970, the first home run. And I have a daughter listening down in Sunbury, and I bet she knows the answer because she used to go to all those ball games. And this particular player was so famous and so well-published, you might say. What was his name? First home run in 1970 at the stadium in Cincinnati. Yeah, my, I traveled. I was in Pennsylvania once and took my daughter to Philadelphia's, to their stadium to see was it maybe World Series game? I don't know. Well, here's a caller. Yes, caller, go ahead.
Was that Hank Aaron?
Yes, it was Hank Aaron. Yeah. Simple as that.
Yep.
Yeah, would you like to go to the zoo?
Nah.
No, okay. You're afraid,
food, Charlie.
You're afraid they might mistake you.
They might keep me.
Yeah, right. Yeah.
They don't have any species of me down there, so.
Yeah. Oh, boy.
How you feeling?
Yeah, well, I'm here.
You're here, huh?
Yeah, I'm here. And one thing that I often think of, right down below me, is the heart failure clinic.
Right. You know, it's better to be here than not here.
That's right.
But somebody told me one time it's better to be seen than shown.
Oh, yes. I believe it, yes. Oh, my land.
Have a good one, Jerry.
Okay, you too. Okay.
Bye.
Yeah. Hank Aaron, 1970, the first home run in Cincinnati Stadium. How about that? 11:33 is the time. And how are you all doing? Oh, and I still need to get the answer to Thomas Jefferson's problem with his wake clock. Now, what was it that he had to do to accommodate his wake clock? Now, if you've ever been to Monticello, you found out, and you saw the results. And what is it? What did Jefferson have to do to accommodate his wake clock? It had weights that operated just like a cuckoo clock, only it never cuckooed, I don't think. Oh, my. But operated the same way. Well, you don't have to have a cuckoo to operate a wake clock. Those tall grandfather clocks operate by the weights hanging down, right? Yeah, okay. But a cuckoo clock is well known for its operational weights. And if you've never been over to Sugar Creek, this would be the weekend to be there, because the leaves would be in full bloom, full color, and they would welcome you in Sugar Creek. There are plenty of places to eat. There's museums, and there is the cuckoo clock. Now, if you want to bring it up on the internet, I think you can. Type in Sugar Creek Cuckoo Clock. It was beautiful. They brought it down from this restaurant north up near Route 62. They brought it down, reassembled it, repainted it, and re-engineered the people that play polkas. And it's just so great. And then they put a beautiful grass all around the cuckoo clock and benches so you can sit there and wait for the hour to happen and then to see all the characters come out. And it's really fascinating. The one German character has a cymbal, and he goes clunk, clunk, clunk. Oh, yeah. And they dance around. Oh, my. But it's really neat. Sugar Creek's a nice place. And they have a permanent steam engine over there. And they probably had a lot of other things I've never discovered. Sugar Creek. That's way over in the hills. I remember we biked across Ohio once, going through Sugar Creek, and then eventually New Philadelphia and Dover. I never will forget when we stayed overnight in, I think it was New Philadelphia, we stayed in a motel, an LK motel, and across the field from us was another motel having a Star Trek convention. And so all evening long, after we got settled down, we could sit outside and watch all these goofy-looking Star Trek people. They were having the time of their life in New Philadelphia. And then we went on, ended up down in, where was it? Not Wheeling, West Virginia, but one of those towns along the Ohio River. Yeah. We went across Ohio 13 years? Yeah. 13 years in a row. Can you imagine bicycling across Ohio 13 years in a row? But we did it. I wish I had a list of all the people who went with me. But Terry Klein's mother was one of them. She went on every single ride. And, Janet Keitlinger and Steve Lemke, they had a tandem bike. And they would purposely race past me because they were a two-human-powered vehicle. I never forget them going up hills. Yeah, that was a lot of fun. We met a lot of people and brought to light Marion, Ohio. And we were down in the town where John Glenn's home is. And we were so tired because we had bicycled up so many hills that day that we found a church. We could hear services going on. We were so exhausted, we laid down on the churchyard and tried to get a little rest. Then we got up and went across the street to a restaurant. And when we went in the restaurant, the people said, "What are you doing here?" Well, we wanted to get something to eat. They thought maybe we were a gang. But the only thing we encountered in all of our trips across Ohio, other than a couple of accidents, some little town, and we had all gone in to eat. And when we came out, we found somebody had taken our bicycles and were loading them into a pickup truck, and they were going to go away with our bikes. So we had to stop that really quick. Yeah, all the little. And then one time in southern Ohio, I'm always, adventurous. And we saw this little shack along the road. And I thought, now that would be interesting. It looks like it's a place of, a place sells beer or what, sandwiches. So I went in there and they looked at me like, where'd this guy come from? Because they all had guns by their side. Yeah, they did. And, of course, that was southern Ohio, People act a little differently down there. And then we went on from there to get something to eat. I can't remember the name of the town. but it was not too far away from Waterloo, Ohio. So we got stopped to get something to eat, and we all went in the grocery store and got some snacks and came out and got to our bikes, and we looked around. There's one person missing, Michelle Lalonde, who was employed at the Marion General Hospital as a physical therapist. And she rode every year. She was strong. I mean, she could go up a hill, you know, no effort at all. And she was missing. And we thought, what on earth? We can't go on until we find her. So we went around this building and found a dog standing in front of a door. And we walked up to the dog, and it started to bark. And inside this little building, which was an outhouse, inside there was this girl yelling at us. It was Michelle. The dog trapped her in the outhouse and would not let her out. Oh, that was fun. How on earth could you have so much fun or have such interesting things happen? Steve Lemke and I were going up in Perry County, up the Perry National Forest. We were bicycling up a hill, and this young girl in a bikini came out of a trailer, which is unusual, a trailer in a national forest. And she came out and went up to us and said, "I want you to know, my dog eats deer." Okay, we'll move right along. We don't want to become deer for your dog. That was always struck me as so strange, to warn us that her dog ate deer, which meant he would also eat humans if he had a chance. 11:42 is the time, and how are you doing today? Do you have any funny stories, anything that ever happened to you in life that you'd like to talk about? I'm sure I'm not the only one who's ever had things happen. Oh, my goodness. Now, when I was a Minuteman on the fire department in Bucyrus, those were memorable days, too, because I was a teenager, and we were called to a fire on, what street was it? Oh, it was a well-known street, and the house was burning. I mean, it was really burning, and the fire was in the wall, and so my job was to bring an axe and chop into this lady's wall so we could stick the hose in there and put out the fire. But I walked up to her doorway with that axe in my hand, and she said, "You're not coming in here." I said, "Lady, your house is on fire." "I don't care. I don't want that axe in my house." But I had to brush right by her and open up her wall and put the fire. Oh, my. Then one other time, I had so many experiences as a Minuteman. What was I thinking? We had one guy in the fire department. He passed away years ago. And he loved to, first thing he did was climb a ladder and tear open a roof. If a house was, had any kind of a fire in it, he was known as the roof guy. Oh, more fun. But, the fireman made me my own helmet, and I had a cap, a captain's cap, and everything. It was a great era growing up. It was during World War II. My dad was in the Navy at the time, so he was very pleased. The firemen were taking good care of me, so it was my mother. However, I was going to Catholic school then. I went there for 8 grades, and the nun said, "Evers, you're not to go to the fire department. They're going to swear and be a bad influence on you." Well, just the opposite. They were the nicest guys you would ever meet. Not one utterance of a swear word ever. Yeah, that was a great, great era for me. Have you had any good eras? Yeah. Okay, it's 11:44 already. Good heavens. We're getting down to the last shot here, the last 15 minutes. 7403399944. And,
Ted, did you know President Warren G. Harding was from Marion, Ohio?
Yes, I did. I passed by his home on the way to the station today, but he wasn't home.
Well, Ted, he's been dead for quite some time.
That doesn't excuse bad manner. He could have left a bundt cake. They get better with age.
WWGH Radio 107.1 FM, The Talking Place.
Two, one. Oh, no. Which button am I...
When every second counts, you can't wing it.
Guys, a little help up here?
In a home fire, you may have less than 2 minutes to get out. So make a family home fire escape plan. Then practice home fire drills at least twice a year so everyone knows what to do when they hear... Prepare your family at ready.gov/firedrill. Brought to you by FEMA, the Ag Council, and Make Safe Happen.
Okay, we're back once again. We've got about 13 minutes left in the program today. I hope I don't bore you with my old stories, but I'm sure some of you have had just as interesting things happen in your lifetime. Now, when I was with the fire department, they used me for a guinea pig to demonstrate a new device for people with polio. You know, we had iron lungs, of course, and you got polio, and you got placed in an iron lung, and I probably the rest of your life. And we had to have some provision if we went to a burning house and the power was out and a person was in there with an iron lung, they'd die quickly. And so this company sold the city of Bucyrus a portable iron lung. And what they, it was made out of metal, and it had rubber straps around the where your arms went through, so it was airtight. And then in the top of it, it was like a an attachment for a house sweeper. And they put the attachment, connected that up, and put me on a table. And the company that sold these said, now watch. And so they turned it on. It was portable. Yeah, I forget how it was... how they operated it, because it had to be portable. But my chest started pumping, you know, and I said, now, they said to the city mayor and whatever, now this is what we can do for a person with an iron lung that has a fire in their house and no power. We hooked this up. Maybe they pumped it. I don't know. But there I was lying on a table being vacuumed, you might say, during the iron lung era. Now that's something else that we can be thankful for today, and nobody realizes today, probably not even in the medical profession, how much fear we had of catching polio. Now very few have got polio in, you know, in this era. But can you remember in the early 50s, when the Salk polio vaccine came out, and there were two different kinds of vaccines. One was where you got a shot, and the other was where you drank it. And we went out to the Coliseum, which was built in 1950, and they administered this liquid polio vaccine. And that solved the Salk people, Dr. Salk, solved polio for millions and millions of kids. Now, there was one other involved in another type of vaccine. Between the two, no more polio. And I can't emphasize enough how... Oh, here we go. Yes, caller. Go ahead, caller.
Hey, I had an answer for the shoe store.
Oh, the shoe store, yes.
That's Sharon, Pennsylvania.
Yes, Sharon, Pennsylvania. We bicycled there, too. Yeah, do you know the name of the store?
Oh,
it's Ryan's.
Right, yes, I was just going to say.
Boy, is it big. Have you ever been there?
Both my parents are from Western Pennsylvania.
Okay,
so,
yeah.
So I have been by. I've never been in, but I have been by.
Yeah, boy, I was in it once, and I couldn't believe how big it was.
I didn't know it was even still around, because that was probably 40 years ago that I was there.
Is that, well, let me see, it's been 19, about night. What was it when I was there? 1990, somewhere around there. So it probably still's there. You can probably look it up on the internet.
Probably, I'm sure. Yeah.
Hey, All right. Would you like a prize?
No, I don't need a prize.
Okay, hey, great. Okay.
Thanks.
Thank you. Okay, yeah. Ryan Shoe Store, Sharon, Pennsylvania. That was our first location on our bike across Ohio for the Cancer Society. And that was our destination, Sharon, Pennsylvania. So we got there in Sharon. It was on a Sunday. And there were about 18 of us on our bikes. And when we pulled into town, we were spotted by the police. And they came up to us as if we were there once again, up to no good. What you're doing in town here? I'm sorry, sir, but raising money for the Cancer Society. Oh, my. And so that was the end of our first year. And, boy, there was a lot of us on that trip. Sharon, Pennsylvania. It was a kind of a crummy town at that time. All I saw was rust. Maybe I should have looked around more. And I didn't even know they had that shoe store then until somebody told me in later years. Okay, it's 11:51. Do you have any stories to tell? I'm trying to think now. Now, remember these stories I tell, because when I die, it's all going to be history. I don't have any record written down of anything. Yes, caller, go ahead.
Hey, Charlie.
Yeah.
The Salk vaccine, it was the one with the shot, and later the Sabin.
Sabin, yes.
Was the liquid.
Salk and Sabin, yeah.
I can remember back in probably about 54, the school took everybody in to Marion General Hospital. We all
really?
Stood in line and got our Salk.
I remember lining up at the Coliseum.
Yeah.
Oh. Uh-huh. And, you know, people of today have no idea how fearsome polio was.
Yeah, I knew. I went to school with probably four or five people that had polio.
Really?
Not totally severe. The most probably was leg braces, you know, they ended up
sure.
with.
Well, the same way with me. I replaced a boy who was the mascot at the Osiris Fire Department, Chuck Pernstall.
Mm-hmm.
Now, he's the same Pernstall family that had Munn's...
Munn's funeral home.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And he also was his grandson or son was the originator of the crematory here in Marion.
Yeah. Wow.
Chuck Pernstall, yeah, I can... Oh, that poor kid. He was braces from head to foot, seemed like.
Wow.
Yeah.
That's terrible.
Yeah.
And you're de Havilland. Probably it was either England or Australia they sold them to.
No, it was France.
France, really?
Yeah.
But, you know, in Australia, it's still a big name.
They have a lot
of aircraft. They must have manufacturing.
But what struck me was the Wright brothers manufacturing airplanes.
Yeah.
Well, and it was just a couple of years before they were, he had a glider.
I know they sold a lot of aircraft to the Army.
Yes.
And
at
that
times,
was the first when the Army air branch started up. That's what all
right.
the planes were.
Yeah. I read, too, for a while, they thought the Wright Brothers Allegiance might leave the United States and be toward maybe our enemy.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
Boy. Yeah. Because the government wasn't willing to buy their aircraft or.
Yes, right.
I don't know if they ever changed their design. You know, the early design of all the Wright was the, for control, you know, they warped the wings.
They warped the wings, yes.
Yeah, as opposed to aerolines and stuff like that they used later. I don't know if they... how long they stuck with that.
Aren't the airplanes now, don't they have a concave on their wings?
Yeah.
Yeah. And that gives lift.
Yep.
Oh, boy.
Plus then to control, though, they have the movable, you know,
yes, right.
aerolines at the back, and that was the So
yeah.
And that was, I read that the whole Wright Brothers story. That's,
oh, really? Okay.
Really interesting.
That would be, yeah. Go from bicycles to aircraft.
Yeah.
Wow.
And they was, forget which one, I think it was Orville. You know, all the flying he did a lot of demonstrations and everything. He had never had an accident. And which is amazing, you
yes.
know, to be in, mm-hmm. Or actually it was Wilbur, I think, but Orville had one accident when his prop come apart.
Oh.
They were wooden props.
Yes,
and,
indeed.
He had one fracture, and he crashed it. He got injured some, but...
Wow. Can you imagine what it was like priming a prop, spinning a prop to get an engine started?
Yeah.
Woo!
Yeah, that was
backing
that
away.
That was probably the biggest danger that they encountered.
Yeah, you've probably seen them do this too. I at the Bucyrus Airport for years. I would go out there and just watch, and they grab a hold of that propeller.
Yeah, they. But that's why the term contact was developed.
That's right. Know? The pilot would be up there.
You better not turn that ignition on while I'm priming it.
Yes, exactly. When he said contact, he flipped the switch and turned on the ignition. Yeah.
All right. Thanks,
okay.
Charlie.
Very good. Okay. Yeah. I love aviation. The first plane I ever flew in was a 1947 Piper Cub. And the pilot took me over Willard to see the Muckland burning, and that was 19, you know, the late 40s maybe. So that was something to see, the Muckland burning. And later on, I went up my old 38 Pontiac just to get a closer look. And so I stopped it along the road and put my hand down. Dumb me, I didn't know it was red hot underneath the the Muckland. Oh boy. That burned a little. But that's my memories of the Muckland burning. Wow, 11:57's the time. We're about done for today, except for our extension here with Scott. And who knows what we'll talk about today. It might be interesting. I might even listen. And let me see. I'm trying to see what's happening. Oh, tomorrow at the Tallgrass Trail. That's right. Let me mention once again what's... For James, Trail of Treats event, Tallgrass Trail, 4 to 6 p.m., and come out for a night of fun. The Marion County Park District, other volunteers will be passing out candy and treats for the kids. Okay. Boy, I had my share of sweet cider. I love cider. Oh, I could drown myself in apple cider. And, maybe I drank too much. I don't know. But I felt kind of queasy ever since. But I thought, hey, an apple a day would keep the doctor away. Why not just drink a gallon of it? Man, that would put him away forever. I guess it doesn't work that way. All the sugar content. Ooh, boy. But so delicious. I love apple cider. Always have. Maybe, well, I'm sure most of you do, too. 11:58 and a half is the time. We're going to be exiting here shortly. And so I appreciate Mr. Stitt and the book of trivia that I've got now. And so, how y'all doing? You're going to have a good weekend. I might get a little dippy-doo for the game tomorrow. Oh, here's a caller. Yes, caller, go ahead.
Charlie, I always wondered, how long do you have to leave it lay out before it gets to be hard cider?
Oh, well, here's what you do. I put it will finish in about a month.
Okay.
If you put a thing in the top of it, a hose, into a glass of water, and it'll go blurp, blurp, so many times a minute. And when it goes down to the last blurp, about every 2 minutes, you know it's hard.
Yummy.
Yeah.
Have a good weekend, Chris.
Okay, you too. Okay. Yeah. Oh, I love making hard cider. But I'm not making any this year. I made it last year, and it never turned out quite as good as I wanted it to. You got to have good unpasteurized cider.
You're listening to WWGH Radio 107.1 FM LP, Marion, Ohio.
I'm Charlie Everson. I'll be on 10 till 12 today, and welcome your phone calls. Today, I'm going to leave it up to all of you to ask questions.
I want you, who are listening today, to invest your time and energy in this radio station. I think it's an interesting experiment. We're having a lot of fun doing it. But by your support, you can possibly arrange for them to get a better heater in the studio, because we talked about this last night.
Here we go.
That space heater just isn't doing the job. I have my parka on that I wore in the car to come to work this morning.
3 minutes in, and we're already on the heater again.
I'm sorry. It's killing me here.
No, let me tell the story about the heat.
Oh, okay.
Okay, let's get into this right away off the bat. Streaming live on the internet at www.wwgh1071.com. Programming on WWGH Radio 107.1 FM is supported by CRT Mechanicals. Address 2842 Marion Waldo Road. Telephone number 740-225-4495. Webpage crtmechanicals.com.
Hey everybody, it's Pastor Steve Whitaker from the Pastor Spot. We are on every Tuesday at 5:15 and replay again on Wednesday at 3:15. We take pertinent issues of the day going on and look at them in a biblical perspective. So we'd love to have you listen and just, you know, call in, just get a conversation going and have a great time on the show.
Pastor Steve Whitaker is the pastor at Community Christian Fellowship in Prospect, Ohio. Address 209 East Water Street. This is Scott Spears, high above Marion in the WWGH News Chopper. If you see news in Marion, please email us at scott@wwgh1071.com. And keep an eye out for the WWGH News Chopper flying high overhead.
This is Tara Dyer, and I am a candidate for City Council, 5th Ward to be specific. I, along with WWGH Radio 107.1 FM, would like to remind you not to forget to vote on Tuesday, November 5th. This announcement has been paid for by the Friends of Tara Dyer.
This is Weasel Boy, and my favorite word is reboot.
Meadows Lawn Care and Landscaping is a proud supporter of WWGH Radio 107.1 FM, Marion, Ohio. Telephone number 740-262-5638. Email meadowslawncare43302@gmail.com. Creating unique environments. Facebook, Meadows Lawn Care.
Hey everyone, it's Weasel Boy, Weasel the Weeze. You might remember me from WNCI in Columbus. Now good for you, lucky, you won the bet. I'm going to be right back here on WWGH Radio 107.1 FM. It's going to be the Weasel Show. We're going to have huge guests, great prizes, lots of entertainment. We're going to be interactive and give away a lot of goodies. So you can listen live on the net at WWGH1071.com or by downloading the free TuneIn app and searching WWGH. The Weasel Show is supported by Retrofoam of Central Ohio, LLC. Retrofoam doesn't cost, it pays. Telephone number is 614-664-FOAM. That's 614-664-3626. Website, www.retrofoamofcentralohio.com. And you can catch them on Facebook at Retrofoam of Cent Ohio.
This is Earl Pitsamurican. You're listening to WWGH 107.1 FM, streaming live on the internet at www.wwgh1071.com.
The Marion Towers Apartments are a supporter of WWGH Radio 107.1 FM. Address 400 Delaware Avenue. Phone number 740-387-9050. It's now time for the obituary report on WWGH Radio.
Doris Jean Harriman, maiden name Freeman, age 95, of Marion, passed away Monday the 21st at Kingston of Marion. She is survived by her sons, grandchildren, great-grandchildren, and half-sisters. Services will be held at the Snyder Funeral Home, Denzer Chapel, at 10:30 in the morning on Saturday the 26th, with Pastor Rob Howard officiating. Friends may call 1 hour prior to the service, and burial will follow at Marion Cemetery. You may leave an online condolence at SnyderFuneralHomes.com for Doris Jean Harriman of Marion. Marcia Keener has passed away. She is survived by her companion of 30 years, Leo, a brother and sister, nieces and nephews. She will be cremated by Avista Cremation and Burial in Santa Fe, New Mexico, and laid to rest at Marion Cemetery in Marion. Graveside services will be announced for Marcia Keener.
You have been listening to the Obituary Report on WWGH Radio, heard daily at 8:10 a.m., 10:10 a.m.,
12:10 p.m.,
and 4:10 p.m.
I call this meeting to order.
Thank you, Mayor Lion.
It's time to pick our favorite superhero to visit this year's Boo at the Zoo. Councilwoman Otter?
Well, the chameleons are turning green for the Hulk.
Ooh, a strong contender.
But the manatees keep calling themselves Iron Man. Geez.
That's stark raving mad.
Well, there's more. The penguins are all dressed to impress the marvelous Captain Marvel.
Oh, boy.
And the arachnids keep bugging me about Spider-Man.
Outrageous.
Maybe we ought to invite all our favorite